Again, I thank God and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you from His holy word this beautiful Lord's Day. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And today I'm going to be looking at some thoughts concerning the idea of when knowledge of God is wasted. So we're talking about God's inspired word, His will for us, His knowledge that we have available to us. And why we're here today, we're seeking to be true worshipers, to follow God's will. And so in this lesson, endeavoring to bring to our mind our responsibility as free will moral agents that God's created us to be able to choose how we live, what we do, right from wrong, and to help us to focus our mind on the things that God would want us to. Let's read verses 18 through 23 of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of Him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even His everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because that knowing God, they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So here we see a process that has not only gone on back at the beginning of time, but continues today. And we all live in a world that's filled with people that are going down this path. They all basically, at least everybody I work with, know about God. Some of them refuse to accept that they're is a God, so, you know, they claim to be atheists. Some say, well, I just don't know, I can't see Him, so I can't say there's a God. And they believe lots of other things they can't see, but when it comes to God, well, I can't see Him, so I don't believe there is a God. So they call themselves agnostics. And then we have other people that replace God's authority, they replace His instructions on how to live on this earth, to worship Him, to serve Him. And they replace that with doctrines and commandments of men that have come up down through the ages. We see them coming up in the New Testament times where they went beyond the things that were written. They started adding to it, taking away, tampering with God's word. And man has always been susceptible to doing this, and that's why there were so many passages to warn us not to add to or take away from His word. God is God. He has created this vast universe to show us His power and His might and how great He is in comparison to us. And if we tamper with His word, then we're saying, well, you know what, I just don't really respect you as the creator, and I want to do it this way, and this seems better to me than what you authorize. So we're going to worship you this way, or we're going to believe this or that or the other. When we think about this idea of wasting the knowledge of God, we ask the question, well, what do you mean by wasting the knowledge of God? We talked a little about this knowledge that many people accept about God by looking at His universe today. And then there's his word. And of course, the devil's out to destroy reality, truth, absolute truth. So he tries to get people to believe that, you know, the Bible has been tampered with men. Men's changed it down through the centuries. You know, it's, you can't put any faith and trust in the Bible. You think it's the word of God, but you know what? Man's translated it, and they've messed it up. They've added it. It's not really to be followed. They have all kinds of argumentation to try to destroy this knowledge. So, how do we waste the knowledge of God? Do I waste the knowledge of God as a Christian? You know, most of us here have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are seeking to be true worshipers, and we're seeking to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and so we really have a confidence, a boldness that we're right in the sight of God, which we should have. But at the same time, we have to continue to examine ourselves and to inspect ourselves with the magnifying glass of God, which is His Word, to see that our hearts are right with God, that we have the right motives and the right attitudes, and that we respond correctly to what happens to us from day to day to please God in reference to His Word and not what I might want to do or think or say, but what God wants me to do or think or say. So, you know, it's all about trying to please God. Am I wasting God's knowledge? Do I waste the knowledge that there is a God, that He created the universe, that He gave us His inspired Word? I want to look at a few thoughts concerning this. First of all, knowledge is wasted when men, number one, refuse to glorify God. Now, I hear God's name used in various ways every day at work. Usually it's not in good ways. It's bad ways. And we had religious discussion last night with some COs, and one grabbed the Bible, and we were looking at some scripture, and the idea of God is totally different in many minds of mankind, and what they think God is and how they'll react to God. Glorify God means to honor God, but it has to be properly honored. Many people glorify and honor God today, but not according to God's authority, His will. So our glorifying God has to be done correctly. All that man does should glorify God. Now think about that. Everything we do should be to glorify God, to honor Him. Well, how do we do that? Simple. I should not be involved in doing things that would be against His will. If I'm interested in glorifying God, then I'm going to seek in every thought, action, word of my life to try to be pleasing in the sight of God. So as we read in 1 Corinthians 10:31, that the inspired apostle writes to the Christians at Corinth, he says, "Whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Does that embody everything I think, say, or do? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So I'm really not here to please myself. This life is not about me. Now, I want to think it is sometimes. I want to have my way, and I want to do what I think is right. But it really shouldn't be on that level. It should be, am I doing what God thinks is right? Am I doing what pleases God? And I tell you what, it's a life work. You don't get to a point that, yep, I'm doing it, because the next moment you can fail. You can fall and fall short. So it's a constant aggressiveness in our minds to glorify God in all that we do. Everything that we do should glorify God. If I start thinking, saying, or doing something that's not pleasing to God, I got a problem. So I have to readjust my thoughts, my words, my practice, my attitudes. In order to glorify God, we've got to be in the church that we read about in the New Testament. We have to be as other passages point out, we have to be in Christ. Ephesians 3, verse 21, says, "Unto Him," that's the Father, "be the glory in the church and in Christ." In Christ Jesus. "Unto all generations, forever and ever." Okay, so the glory must be found, and we must be involved in that glory, in the church, in Christ. And those are synonymous terms. We can't be in Christ being outside the church or vice versa. So I have to be in the right place in my life to really glorify God. I can't say, like I have friends at work that, you know, they say they're glorifying God, but they're worshiping Him according to the doctrines and commandments of men. I can't define glorify. I can't define me and God and if I'm glorifying Him or not. I have to glorify Him in the church that we read about in the New Testament, in Christ. So I have to get other people to understand this with the Scriptures. So 1 Corinthians 10:31, Ephesians 3:21 are two passages to use. In order to glorify God, man must control his own body or God will not accept him. We've been given a body. This body is really not our body. This is a vehicle that God's put us in. It's a machine, if you please. And my mind, my spirit, that God's created in His own image, controls my body. Now, you don't control my body. I might allow other people to control it and do things that God tells me not to do, or I might respond to truth people teach me and obey the gospel, obey God, try to do what God wants me. But I'm the guy that has to make decisions of what my body does. So passages like 1 Corinthians 6, and this, of course, this passage is one that you know very well, 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have from God? And you are not your own." Now, it's not talking about personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit in some supernatural sense, because we find other scriptures that say that Jesus Christ abides in us and the Father abides in us. But the Holy Spirit is the person, the Godhead, that has brought the truth through the inspired apostles and prophets. That's His sword. And when we apply the Word, the Holy Spirit is residing in us through that Word that we're applying. Now, I can know the Word. The Holy Spirit's not abiding in me until I apply it. I have to apply it. I have to live it. I have to put it to work in my life. So that's what He's talking about. I don't have the right to use my body whatever I want to do that pleases me, because it's not really my body. Is it? You are not your own. What? What do you mean? I am not my own. You know, am I schizophrenic? Am I somebody else? No, I'm me. I'm not my own in the sense of this context. This body is not really mine. It's like our children. You know, people tend to think children, that's their children. It's really God's children. And they're kind of given to us on loan. They grow up and they leave the home. They have their own lives. Yeah, they're still our children. But we don't own them. They're individuals created in the image of God. God's given to these children. They're quivers in our, whatever that's called, I forgot.
Arrows in our quiver.
Thank you. A quiver, and God's given them to us through His plan of a union between a man and a woman, husband and wife, and they're a great, great commodity, probably the greatest commodity physically you could ever own, children. But they're God's, they're not ours. So our body's the same way. You were bought with a price. Now, not only is this given to me to reside in and to use properly, but we were bought with a price. Now, that includes both body and spirit. Okay? Therefore, do? Glorify God in your body. So we're back to our idea here is glorifying, honoring God. When I misuse my body, maybe I get mad, and I get mad at my wife, and I abuse her verbally. Maybe I get mad and abuse her physically, whatever. God tells me not to do that, so I've misused my body. Maybe I get mad and say a bad word. Okay? Maybe I get caught in doing something I shouldn't do and I tell a lie. I mean, you can go on and on. If I tell a lie, I'm misusing my body. I can't glorify God misusing my body when I tell a lie. When I was a youngin, my parents told me to do something. I disobeyed them. I got punished for it if I got caught. You know, I found out from my kids, they did a lot of things I didn't know about, and they never got caught. And when they grew up, they confessed and said, "Well, Dad, we did this." And I said, "You what?" I didn't know. God knows. They weren't using their bodies correctly. They weren't glorifying God when they were doing things they shouldn't have done. So it's the same with us. We have to glorify God correctly. Let's look at the next thing. Is we waste the knowledge of God when we refuse to be thankful. Okay, we looked at glorifying God. Now let's look for a moment or two at thankfulness. How many people around you that you work with, that you know, have thankfulness on their hearts to their Creator? Most people are griping and belly aching, and it's just unbelievable. And I look at myself and I say, you know, I'm not far enough on the opposite of that. I'm not thankful enough in my heart to God for what He gives me every day. I get up in the morning and He gave me a good night's sleep. Do I thank Him for that? Am I really appreciative and praising Him? Am I praising Him, glorifying Him? Or am I wasting this knowledge and just ignoring it, taking it for granted that I had a great night's sleep? And I get up and eat breakfast. Food. He gives me food every day. Gives me fantastic air to breathe. Well, some people say it's not. But you know what? I'm still living, breathing in. So many wonderful blessings each and every day. Am I thankful to Him? Look at the 100th Psalm. Psalm 100. And of course, read the Psalms often, because there are so many wonderful exhortations for us in our relationship to God and who He is. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto Jehovah." We've been doing that in singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to Him this morning. "All you lands." It should be the whole globe, the whole planet being thankful to God. "Serve Jehovah with gladness." That's happiness. "Come before His presence with singing. Know you that Jehovah, He is God." Why are we happy? Why do we sing? Why do we love life? Because God is God. He makes all this available to us. He makes us so we can be happy and enjoy all the wonderful things He gives us every day. The sunshine, the rain, everything. Our families, the love that we have through Him, through His Son, through our families. So much wonderful things to be thankful for. Are we really praising Him and being thankful to Him each day? Are we really living life to the fullest? You know, we hear a lot about that today. Oh, you got to do this and do that. And turn your TV set on and you see how the devil will make you happy. Get money, get yachts, get trips, get everything you can get in the material realm. That's what makes you happy. No, no, no. It's existence of being able to serve the Creator who gives us these things. And He says, "Know you that Jehovah, He is God. It is He that has made us." All right, there it is right there. Be thankful, great, and happy to God. Rejoice that God made us in His own image. Can you believe that? You look at any other living form on this planet or Anywhere else? Well, we don't think there's anything anywhere else, but in the heavens, the birds in the air, the fish in the sea, all the other things, only man has been created in the image of God. Wow. He made us and we are His. We are His people. Now we're specifically talking about God's people, those who obey His will, the Jews then and us as Christians now. And the sheep of His pasture, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Okay, that's what we're talking about right now. Giving thanks to God. Thanksgiving should be on our lips, in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our minds daily. Or are we wasting God's knowledge and not thinking about it, not meditating on it, forgetting about it, and not being thankful? That's our responsibility. Glorifying God, honoring by Him by doing His will. As we meditate upon His Word, we should be full of thanksgiving every day. How many times during the day do we look at a beautiful sky, beautiful clouds, maybe a thunderstorm, whatever it might be, getting off of work, anytime we're happy, and we thank God? Thank you, God, for letting me live this long. Thank you, God, for giving me this good food. Thank you, God, for this wonderful sleep. Thank you, God, for my job, for my family. Thank you for all the blessings you've given me down through the years. Thank you for Jesus Christ and what we've been focusing on with the Lord's Supper. All these songs that JP brought us this morning about Jesus and His great, unbelievable, unfathomable love to come down into His own creation and to die on that cross, take all of our sins upon Him. And then even to be separated from the Father, which, as far as we know, that never happened and never will happen again. But those 3 hours, it was dark. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was our sins that caused that. We're responsible for that. Isn't that awful? Do we think about that when we take the Lord's Supper? I'm sorry, Lord, that my sins have caused Jesus to have to go through all that He went through and die on that cross and be separated from you because of my sins. Do we make it personal? We should. Because we're part of the problem. And when we start getting top-heavy and high-mighty and we think we're so good, we need to put ourselves back down in the dust where we came from. Put all praise, honor, and glory to God and thank Him, not ourselves, not boasting. Because we don't have any right to boast. It's all God. It's all our Creator. And so that's what He's saying. Come, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Give thanks unto Him and bless His name. For Jehovah is good. For His loving kindness endures forever, and His faithfulness unto all generations. Another one we'll look at real quick is Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. There's so many passages in the Old Law. You know, people tell me, say, well, you don't believe in the Old Testament anymore. I said, beg your pardon? I do believe in the Old Testament. It's the inspired Word of God. But we're not going to be judged by it today, or in the judgment day. We should be giving animal sacrifices, and I name a couple other things. Try to get them to understand that this is still inspired. We need to be studying it diligently. There's some Christians today that teach that you shouldn't even study the Old Testament anymore, because it was nailed to the cross. Totally misunderstanding what was nailed to the cross. The law of Moses that you had to keep perfectly in order to be right with God, which no one could do, was nailed to the cross. Yeah, the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross, but we find 9 of them in the New Covenant, except keeping of the Sabbath. So we have to explain that to people. So let's read Isaiah 12 very quickly. We're going to close here, and I'll pick up next time I'm up here to continue thoughts concerning when knowledge of God is wasted. This is a beautiful chapter. It's short. And in that day you shall say, I will give thanks unto you, O Jehovah, for though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For Jehovah, even Jehovah, is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, give thanks unto Jehovah, call upon his name. Declare his doings among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto Jehovah, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known in all the earth. Cry aloud and shout, you inhabitant of Zion, for great in the midst of you is the Holy One of Israel. And those words could be used for us today as Christians. Same thoughts are effective today under the law of Christ. It's the same principles. If we're full of God's knowledge and we're not wasting it, we're going to want to share what we are getting to experience through God's Word as we seek to apply it. And we have this joy that is unspeakable, full of glory. This hope, this peace. Does it? You know, it's amazing. You get in a mindset in serving God from day to day, where you work, where you're at, and I came in last night to work, and I was focusing on work. You know, I have 12-hour shifts on Friday and Saturday, so I come in, and the guy at the X-ray looks at me and says, Odom, why are you frowning? Why are you looking so mad? I didn't know I was looking mad. Because see, normally I'm smiling. He says, you're not smiling. What's the problem? So usually I try to smile, be happy, because I try to think on spiritual things. And when you're thinking on spiritual things, unless you're sinning, you're going to be happy. You're going to have this joy and peace and love. You don't want to share it with other people. So I said, well, I guess I'm focusing on my work. He says, yeah, I understand. I said, I get negative when I come to work too. So I tried to smile. I tried to get out of that mindset, because people read you. They read you. They're looking at you. Especially if they know you're claiming to be a Christian. You know, they're really scrutinizing you. So what are you putting forth to them? If I'm thankful, am I going to run around being negative and disgruntled? No. Thankfulness involves being happy. I'm thankful to God that he guided me to the truth, that I was able to obey the gospel, that I'm trying to follow him as a true worshiper. And I want to share that with anyone and everyone I can. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. Everything, it said everything, didn't it? We should be a thankful people, constantly giving thanks and being thankful for everything. Even when bad things happen to us, even if God withdraws himself from us like he did Job, and let the devil come and afflict us with a disease or get persecuted or whatever negative things happen to us, are we thankful then? It's hard to be thankful when bad things are happening, but we need to work at doing that. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus to you were. And one other one, Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. A lot of times we stop there, the rest of the verse says, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I tell you what, thankfulness is something we need to have in us all the time. And it's hard. The devil wants to get us away from these things. He wants us to think like the world does around us. Focus on worldly things. Not praise God and thank God and be glorifying God in our daily lives and whatever happens to us from day to day. So we're going to stop there. Next time, we'll look at a couple more thoughts if we ignore God's wisdom is the next thing. There may be someone here that wants to respond to the gospel in any way. that God has put forth, if you're not a child of God and you want to obey the gospel, to believe that gospel, to repent of your sins, to confess Christ before men and be buried with him in baptism, that you might rise to walk in newness of life, a new creature in Christ Jesus, having reached the blood of Christ in water immersion for the remission of your sins. We can help you do that. If you've done that and you want the prayer of the congregation, we can help you with that. Whatever the case is, once you come on, we stand and sing.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all dear, now is at stake. Unlink your heart to God, safe from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All the dead shall rise, righteous meet endless sky. Going where no one dies, heaven we're bound. Troubles will soon be
Jesus Christ, holy name.
Amen.